God. I just want to read something that I saw a couple of weeks ago, and I meant to, God brought it back into my spirit tonight. And it just says this: Paul, who demanded 100% commitment from himself and those he worked with, was angry with Mark for wanting to take a break and go home and spend time with his family. But later, after reconsidering the whole thing, Paul gave Mark a second chance, saying, "He is profitable to me for the ministry." God sees potential in people, even flawed people, and we must too. When we believe in people and encourage them, they can move from the lost column to the profit column. Years ago in Northumberland, a young Scottish Presbyterian lady gathered a class of street kids to teach them the Word of God. To keep them coming back, the superintendent bought each of them a new suit. But after a few weeks, Bob, the most uncompromising, unpromising boy in the class, was missing. When she went looking for him, she found him with his clothes torn and dirty. So the superintendent bought him another suit and invited him back again. After a few weeks, he dropped off Sunday school once more. Disgusted, the teacher wanted to give up on him, but the superintendent said, "I'll buy him a third suit, if he will promise to attend regularly." Bob did. He kept coming, and he committed his life to Christ and studied for the ministry. That discouraged, forlorn, ragged, runaway boy was Robert Morrison, the great missionary to China, who translated the Bible into Chinese language and opened the kingdom of heaven to countless millions who live there. So who are you thinking of giving up on? Don't do it. Give them another chance. They deserve it. Hallelujah. So he has this little boy from Northumberland who just... But God used this young boy to go and bring millions to faith through translating the Bible in China. What's God got on your life? You know, what's he got? The Bible says, "You were born for such a time as this." You are born for such a time as this. How blessed we are. And at times that we don't recognize the blessings, or we don't see the potential in people. You know, teachers used to say to me, "Oh, you're never going to make anything of yourself." And, you know, people would say, "Lock that man up and throw away the key." But it's been a blessing that I've been able to help affect thousands of lives, millions of lives all around the world, you know, in such a short space of time. And that is why we are, you know, we go through our trials and our sufferings. And you may have had a bad life, and that doesn't disqualify you. You may have had no interest in church. You may have had no interest in God. You may have had, but that doesn't disqualify you. You know, you're probably better qualified if you've been in a mess than somebody that's been at theological college for half their lives and never done anything with their faith. You're probably more qualified because you've learned at the school of hard knocks. You know, and that's preparing you for the things that God has ahead for you. Now, it says in the book of Genesis 1:26. It says in the book of Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So you're made in the image of God according to his likeness. "Let them have dominion," let them rule, he means. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over all the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, fill the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing. And so God always wanted us to be winners. He's created you to be a winner. And, you know, we've got to keep saying this. You're made in the image of God. You have his DNA inside of you. And so he turned you from a loser to a winner. The Bible says that no one is righteous. No one. No one. Nobody born. You could say, well, Davy, I didn't have the sin in my life that you had in your life. That doesn't make it. You're still not good enough. That's what the Bible says. That no person born from Adam onwards, because they were born into a sinful, flawed, cursed land. Because after Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed the ground. So everything that came into it came into a sinful world. It is a sinful world. How many times have we make mistakes, we do daft things, but then God redeems us from that, and he's made us to be a winner and an overcomer. Inside of you, you've got seeds of greatness, because when you've repented, the seed of Christ comes into you. The seed of Christ comes into you and you start growing. Christ starts growing in you. Right? Christ starts growing in you. So you've got this awesome potential because God is in you. You know, 25 years ago, you know, I couldn't have laid hands on anybody. I've seen anybody healed. I've seen anybody out of darkness. But the Spirit of God came to live in us after all my sins were washed away. And he put his seed inside of us. And he started to work on us. That'll finish when I go to glory. And then I shall be perfect when I go to glory. I shall be like Christ when he comes. And I glory to God. So you've got seeds of greatness and potential. But you need to tap and dig into that. Treasure in earthen vessels, everybody. We have treasure in earthen vessels. There's a treasure on the inside of you that God wants us to dig out and to work with and to fulfill your godly possession, your godly identity, your godly path. Because Satan's got a path for you as well that he wants you to walk down. It's called death and hell. Satan's got that path of, he wants Christians living in defeat. He wants Christians living below the par standard of what God wants for you. So he attacks people. He puts disillusionment and seeds of doubt into your mind. And you suddenly, you come in here on a Sunday night and you're out, or you come to the prayer night and you're full of it, and then by the next day he's working on your mind to try and rob you of what you've heard. You know, which is why it's so important that we constantly confess over ourselves and agree with the Word of God, read the Word of God and confess it over ourselves so it becomes a reality. Because God has made you a winner. He loves you. He rejoices over you. And that no matter what you've done wrong, you know, you could say, well, God, you cannot love me because I've done stuff. You know, I didn't want anybody to see the video of my life. I don't want anybody to see the things I've really getting up to with everything else. Of course I don't. But God knows them all. And he's forgiven us. That day when I started that process, thank you, God, come into my heart, come into my life. It all went away, all, everything. And God rejoices over us. He cannot see sin, because when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. When he looks at Arthur, he sees Jesus. When he looks at Debbie, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see our sinful past, because God, Jesus, has taken it, nailed it to the cross. So he wants you. It wasn't just to feel good and go to heaven, feel blessed. But he wants you to have an abundant life, it says in John 10:10. 10 out of 10. You know, if you do well in a class, teachers will tell you that when they mark up the thing, 10 out of 10, you've done good. Well, Jesus wants you to have the best, 10 out of 10. So in John 10:10, the Bible says, I want you to have the abundance of life. The abundance of life. If you're living in a depressed state, you're not enjoying the abundant life. So there's something that's out of sync that you're not doing. Because the Word of God says that if you put these things into practice, you'll not live a depressed life. You cannot skip on these things. You cannot skip on your praise and worship. You cannot skip on reading the word. You can't skip on prayer. God says, if you do this and this and this, then you'll live an abundant life. You're forgiven, but God doesn't want you living in a dark cave. He's not wanting you living in the back cave. He wants you to live the abundant life. And and sometimes, like I say, we all come under times in our lives when we feel oppressed, we feel attacked, but God has given the answer there to you. And sometimes you have to break through, you have to push through. It's like, when you watch anybody ever seen a chicken coming out the egg? When it's pushing its way, it's batting its way through. And it's almost like breaking out. But I've never, ever seen God never go to bat. I never, ever answer prayer. God is never leaves people where they're at. And as you exercise the word and you speak it out, then there's power in the word. And, we're constantly talking about the transforming and renewing of our minds. Because if you listen to what the devil puts in your mind, you're going to remain defeated. And God's looking to change the way you think. He's wanting you to receive the mind of Christ so you can think things through. You can think victorious. So when the challenges come, you praise God. Whenever the challenges come, God has got the answers. You've got to keep breaking through, pushing through till you get the answer to your problem, whatever it is. A problem is being designed and put there to draw you to God so he can prove himself on your behalf. You have inside of you seeds of greatness. God looks at you and says, you're my child, I created you. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you. The Bible tells you, before this earth was created, God had a plan for your life. He knew your name, he knew Shane's name, he knew Debbie's name, he knew Norman's name. Before the foundations of the world, the Bible is true. God knew you. He knew the days of your life. He knew you. And he looks at you as your child. And you might have done all kinds of wrong. It doesn't matter. If you're forgiven, God loves you. He loves you anyway. So, you're unique. Norman's unique. When God made Norman, he looked at it and said, I cannot do better than Norman. And he broke the mold. And that's what he does. You see, because he loves you. Now you might think you love your kids, but God loves your kids far more than you ever could. He numbers the hairs on the head. He knows the number of hairs on the head. He knows the number of hairs on your head, Arthur. Well, but who could be bothered to number the children's hairs? Right? But God does. So as much as you love your kids, God loves you and your children even more than he could do. And he wants to, it doesn't matter how you start off in life, you may start off with bad foundations, you might have awful, terrible things happening in your life, but it says you are crafted before the foundations of the world. God picked Jenny up and said, Jenny, I love you. You're my perfect child. I love you so much. I've got great things in store for you. And he goes, oh, Lord, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. But God says, oh, you're made, I love you. I love you. I love you. And how many are you saying, allowing a religion to block out God's love? How many are trying to climb a greasy pole by saying, well, if I do this, I do that, God will love us a bit more? Because you get caught into that. The devil tries to bring people into that where they think, well, oh, I'm not doing enough here for God. And he's got you running around like a headless chicken. But God cannot love you any more than what he does. If you work on God's behalf, you will be blessed. And you get more and more blessed. But God still loves you. Even if you don't, God still loves you. We don't get into this thing that we earn salvation by works, because we don't. Salvation in grace are gifts from God. You did nothing, you cannot do anything to earn it. It's a pure gift from God. Jesus is grace. Jesus is grace, and he's a gift to you. Now, he does have things that he wants you to do. You know, it's not, you know, he's got plans. And you are equipped for everything life will throw at you. You see, when God gives you a purpose, he equips you for the job. It's like, you know, we've just been praying our Tony and Alex there. God's going to give them everything they need for their job. He's not going to leave them short of anything. If he asks you to do something, he'll equip you for that task. He'll give you everything you need. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. But it depends on you doing it. And as you do it, he'll equip it and give you what you need for it. He's prepared good works for you to walk in advance. We keep telling you this. So as you see, yes, Lord, here I am, I'm available, God will send you and equip you to do that task. And it could be anything. It could be, I want you to go down to Rakeley and Morgue and raise somebody from the dead. You know, it could be anything. But this says we have a treasure in earthen vessels, but for the treasure we've got to dig. Right? The gold mine. If you've got a gold mine, you've got to dig the gold out. It doesn't just float out of the ground. You've got to go and dig it out. You've got a treasure inside of you, which Jude says you must stir up and dig out of you. It's on the inside of you. So you've got to dig it out. God's got a plan, and his spirit is in you, and he can empower you to go and do all kinds of miracles. Inside you, it says there is a fountain, a wellspring of life. A wellspring of life. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the wellspring of life. God's put many talents on the inside of you. You've got talents in you. Put your hand on your heart right now and say, I have treasure in here. I have talents in here. I stir them up. I want to use my gifts. I want to finish my race. I want God to take hold of my life and to lead me and guide me into mighty exploits. Because I'm a winner, I'm a child of God, and his DNA is in here. I have seeds of greatness. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God's put many talents in you. And the more you use the talents, the more God will give you. You read the story about the talents. There's the one who just did nothing with it and he didn't get blessed. But there's the ones who invested and did their talents. God wants you to do something. He's got things prepared for you to do. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Because when we're together, God blesses we and strengthens we while we're in the corporate gathering. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. And it's good to pray over one another, especially when we have the house groups, to pray for each other's needs, to stir the gifts up inside of us. But we need to be in church and getting a healthy supply of the word, worship, and prayer. Because if you're not getting them, you're going to dry up. You're not going to have the guidance. You're not going to have it. So when we come together, it's really important. Because there's a corporate anointing. Yes, gather together in homes. But when we're together in this anointing, there's a corporate anointing that God will bless you and strengthen you. So tonight, the word is not off me, it's off God. Because he wants to encourage you. He's saying, look, listen, get your eyes on me. Get your eyes on God. Get your eyes on me, he's saying, so that I can bless you. But we get filled up through the word, through worship, through word, through worship, through the Holy Spirit. And if we're not getting that, yes, we can have quiet times and times by ourselves. But if you're not getting it, you're going to run on empty. And then you're going to move on the flesh. And when you start operating in the flesh and things don't work out, then you get discouraged. And the enemy knows that. So that's why he attacks you. So the more that you're getting to things, the more that you're filled with the Spirit, you can testify more things are happening around you. Because you're there. If you just turn up every so often, or just what, you're not going to live a spiritual victory life. It's not going to happen. Because God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves and continually get prayer, continually be praying, continually be in the word. And if you do those things, you're going to live a victorious life. That's what he's saying, because he wants to bless you. You know, a car needs oil, petrol, water, regular servicing, and our bodies need that spiritual input so that we can function in what we're meant to be doing. We need to build repetition and consistency into our lives if we're to succeed. Now, dependent on the attack that you get in your life, and if you get a heavy attack, there's only one place to go, and that's to God. You know, if you're under attack constantly, you need to be close to God. And how do, when I get under attack, what do? I start worshiping God. I start praying in tongues. I get my Bible out. I start reading the word, so I'm getting filled up with it. And then all the negativity goes, all the heaviness goes, and miracles start happening around us. But if I didn't do that, and I just, then you would, all, nothing would be happening. So it's not something, you know, it's like when you have a plant, you've got to give that plant water and sunshine. Sometimes it's plant food and things like that for it really to develop. If you look at how a gardener or a prize gardener grows the things in his garden, he gives it light. You've got to give it attention, and your spirits need that attention. Otherwise, you're running on a deficit. And what happens when on an engine? If you just run an engine on petrol and you didn't put the water in and you didn't put the oil in, what would happen? Your engine would seize. And that's the same with our spiritual bodies. So if we don't feed our bodies, then we're going to run on the flesh, and we're going to crash and burn, and we're going to walk away from the things of God, and you're going to miss God's blessings. That's what the thing is. So it's saying, be continually filled with the word, worship, and prayer. So do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. We need to build repetition and consistency into our daily lives. Spend that early morning time with God. Spend that. And you say, well, maybe if you can't, you say, oh, well, I've got to get up for work. Maybe you need to go to bed an hour earlier and get up an hour earlier. You know, make that time with the provision in there. You know, we need to build repetition, consistency. If you're an athlete, remember like that guy Mo Farah, who run the 10,000 metres and the 5,000, he was a gold medalist. You know, now Mo Farah runs 130 mile a week. You didn't win the 10,000 metres and the 5,000 metres by not training, do you? So if you're putting this in, you're going to, it's like an athlete. You're going to be like an athlete who produces a lot of fruit. And so sometimes when you're doing that, it's hard when you're by yourself. And God, it's that real time where God's watching you. Not when you're in here on a Sunday night, it's when you're at home. What are you doing at home? How much time are you spending in prayer? How much time are you locking away? How much time are you giving to television? How much time are you giving to games or whatever, or to feeding your flesh? You know? And it's, you know, sometimes like prayer and that time of sacrifice is hard work. It's hard work. It's like you're by yourself, you're there. And like Mo Farah, when he's out there on the road, doing 130 mile an hour a week, there's no crowds there cheering him. He's there by himself in the wind, rain and snow. But he keeps going, and then he gets the rewards for running the race. It's running your race with excellence. It's putting your time in so that you can run a good race and produce fruit. You know? I'm going to finish in a minute because I'm just... So, what I want to say to you is you have heavenly crowds watching you. Mo Farah had those people in London cheering them and all that. The heavenly crowds are watching you. Moses, David, Elijah, Esther, all these people are cheering you on from the sidelines of heaven. They're saying, come on, Norman, you can do it. Lift your head up, buddy lad. You're going to do it. Come on, they're all praying and cheering you on, saying, come on Trevor, I've got you there, yeah, and I say, and there's crowds, masses of them, that are, yes, Larry as well, and sort of like, that are cheering you on, and they're saying, come on, get your head up, Davey, come on, keep pushing on, and that, you know, and it says, the Bible says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, so everybody sees what you're doing, you get away with nothing. So you've got secret sin going on in your life.
It ain't secret, beloved, I'm telling you. God says, so do the great witnesses of heaven. Amen.
Every time you overcome or reject sin, something that's sinful, you do a good deed. And the crowd of heaven cheers you on. Do you know that? You know, every time, you were doing something wrong in your life, right? And you know it's wrong. And then you say, I'm not going to do that because I know it's wrong. And you think now of it. I tell you what it is. Have you noticed how we get blessed? Have you noticed that? Because God blesses you when you make the right decision. Why? Because the crowd of heaven is cheering you on. Right? Honestly, I'm telling you this. So when you decide to do what's right and walk in the right way, God's going to bless you. And he does bless you. Because why? Because you're rejecting that which is wrong. And then he can go and rub the devil's nose in it. Because the devil stands accusing you day and night. And then God can say, well, you know, Norman's not a bank robber anymore. He doesn't want to rob the banks anymore. Or he doesn't want to... Sorry, Norman, I'm picking you up here. But it pleases God when you make the right decisions. That's what it is. You know? So every time you overcome or reject sin, you do a good deed and a chair goes up for you in heaven. God smiles and says, that's my Norman. That's my Arthur. That's my Trevor. That's my Paul. That's my Shane. He's rejected what's wrong. And you know, so heaven's cheering you on. It's willing you to succeed. Just like Moore, when the crowds were cheering him on in the 5,000 meters, you can do it because you're anointed by God to be a winner. And so the more you reject that which is bad, the more you're going to be blessed, you know. Last year at the Olympics, there was a lady, right? There was a lady. She won the 2,000 metres. A lady called Helen Glover, 4 years ago. Nobody knew who she was. But she won the 2,000 metres in the Olympics. And she's an Olympic gold medalist. And actually what happened after the Olympics, the gold medal winners had their faces put on a stamp. Right? You know, the gold medal winners had their face. So Helen Glover's face is on a stamp because she won the 2,000 metres. You know? And I want to say that, you know, that for every victory you overcome and every medal, there's a medal in heaven for you. There's a blessing in heaven for you. 4 years ago, nobody knew who this woman was. Now our face is on a stamp. God can transform you. I've said this before. 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, Paul was on the doors in Newcastle. As a bouncer, that better be God. 4 years ago, Paul, 5 years ago, Paul was a bouncer on the doors in Newcastle. What's he today? He's a care support worker. He's a winner. He's an overcomer. People have heard his story around the world. People are hearing his story. And at times he finds it hard. It finds his head goes down. But we want to encourage you because we love you, brother, because you're a winner. And God sees you as a winner and a success. Your life's a success. You might not think it is at times, but it is. God says, look, hey, that's my Paul there. That's my son there. That's my son. I want to bless my son. People get encouraged when they hear his story. He goes and gives testimony. And he might not feel up to it, but he does it. And then he's coming away with a big cheesy grin on his face and, you know, back on top, you know. But there's times when his head goes down, the same as the times my head goes down. And I can't be bothered and I've got to get up and speak to crowds or whatever. But you know what it is that there's a big chair goes up for you. And God says, that's my child. I love you. I love you, you know. And so God can take you from zero to hero in a very short space of time. There's no, and I want to say it in heaven, you know, the rewards in heaven. There's no bronze or silver. There's no bronze or silver in heaven. What is that? There's gold. What does it say? Those streets are paved with gold. And you think to yourself, how much need you have in your life. And God is a wonderful father, a fantastic father. And if he'll pave the streets in heaven with gold, how much more will he give you? Because you're his child. He will not withhold things from you. See, Helen didn't know the potential in her. She didn't know that inside her was an Olympic champion. She just needed the right people and encouragement around her to what was already there. That was already inside of her. She was already a winner. A story was already wrote, but she didn't know it. And you are winners, and there's a story written inside you that hasn't been fully fulfilled just yet. But it will happen. It will come out of you because God has put this treasure inside of you. We talk often about Esther, the little lady who was hidden away in the middle of the Persian Mede Empire, a nobody. And God started to prepare her. God started to make the way for her to become the queen of the Persian Mede Empire, which stretched across a third of the earth. What is he preparing you for? Be faithful in the small things, and God will give you larger things. If you've been asked to do a little task, do it with joy. And if you can do those little things with joy, God will give you bigger things to do. And remember, he's put a treasure within you, a blessing within you, and he wants to be you. And you are already, in his eyes, a gold medal winner. And I'm going to leave it there with that, because we've went on a bit later than normal tonight. But I just want to say that Esther is a woman who stands in the grandstands of heaven cheering you on. She's shouting Elaine on. She's shouting Debbie on. She's shouting Sam on. She's shouting, come on, get up and do it. Take your inheritance. You're a winner. And I see God sees you as a winner. A real winner. There's gold on the inside of you. This is your moment. God has called you for a day such as this. Take your inheritance. Run your race. Don't allow the devil to buy you off or deceive you. Put your heart into God. Set your face before him. Not in a religious way, but in a way that's, Father, I'm seeking you because I love you. I was up till 5 o'clock in the morning yesterday with God. I was buzzing, hanging off the ceiling in my house when I came back from the prayer night on Friday. Absolutely buzzing. And I was just lying there. And I didn't want to go to bed. I said, God, I'm just going to lie here with you. And I was there with the power of God all over my house till 5 in the morning. And then he said, right, go to bed. You know, so I just love spending time in God's presence. Because just by doing that, just because my love for him is so strong, and I do that, God rewards us and blesses us. And I've been blessed quite big, in a big way this week. But like, you know, it's like, you know, run your race with excellence. Don't allow the devil to buy you off with comfort. Oh, you don't need to do this tonight. Oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, you don't need to go to that prayer meeting. Oh, just have an easy night off. Let's go for a drink. Let's go to the town. Let's go to this. Let's go to that. What's that going to do? Give you apart from give you a hangover? And leave you lying there feeling, why did I do this? In the worst case scenario, hanging doing the big white telephone. No, I'm just put God first, get your inheritance, and that's it. Amen.